We're here on a rainy Tuesday evening, a few hours from the debate. I'm Joe Loudguy, and this is Sociable Socialism. It's good to be back. As I said, we would start recording again on Tuesday nights. Obviously, we're past the holidays now, even though I still have my Christmas tree up because I'm lazy. And it's been in some bad news recently between the Warren fake scandal that she launched in an attempt to, label Bernie sexist, coupled with the fact that The View and its clout and the CNN anchors and like the entire political elite have gotten behind this obviously easily debunkable smear. So it's created a whole issue. We're going to cover that as well as go into what my predictions are for the debate tonight. Stay tuned. So I'm tired. I'm not going to lie. I had an early start, as I do most days, but I stayed up last night because I've been replaying The Witcher. And yes, I was inspired to do so because of the new show that we've all seen on Netflix. And that's no excuse, but you know, you go in grumpy, you drink some coffee, you have to sit an extra hour in traffic today because fuck it. You know, I guess some asshole got in a car wreck and slowed everybody down at 66 by an hour. And none of this really matters to you, dear listener, but it influenced my day. And all of it paled in comparison to the frustrations that I was then later to feel as the ever-growing chorus of Warren stans was joined by the ladies of The View. And we'll be cutting to what they said, a little of what they said. I don't know if we can stomach all 10 minutes of it, but we'll be cutting to what they said and why it's ludicrous and insane and frankly insulting and sexist to even mention Bernie Sanders in this way. But before we get to that, let's obviously review what's happened thus far. Senator Elizabeth Warren, who is running for president, decided that she was tired of falling in the polls, not being able to get one up on Bernie, losing out progressive support, and has launched a smear campaign against him. Now, as to what started this, supposedly it began because a volunteer for Bernie was sharing a script that Bernie had calling out Liz. And a lot of people are saying this person was a plant. From what I've seen, I don't know if I'm convinced it was a plant, because what they were handing out, I really don't see as problematic in the first place. They were handing out a script that more or less said that, you know, Liz Warren is fine, but she isn't progressive on a variety of very clear and obvious topics. She's just not where Bernie is at. And it called her out directly, and I'm personally fine with that. Now, Liz Warren took offense to it and was asked about it by a reporter in what was clearly a loaded question designed to set a precedent for Warren and CNN to launch this attack against Bernie. Now, why are they doing this? Well, Bernie is trending in the polls, as we have all seen. It is now a race pretty much between him and Biden. And clearly, they are not confident Biden has it in the bag. And I wouldn't be either, frankly. I would not be confident that Biden is going to be able to impress at this debate tonight. I think that it's rather telling that two literal billionaires are in the race because this is, as Sam Cedar once put it, a vote of no confidence in Joe Biden's ability to get the job done. If he was convincing everyone in the bourgeoisie elite that this wasn't necessary, that Biden was going to win, that there was nothing to worry about, it's doubtful that, you know, you would have Bloomberg in the race. It's doubtful Steyer would have jumped into the race. It's certainly doubtful, and indeed, I would say unlikely, that Howard Schultz would have ever even announced that independent run, as he did later say that as long as Joe Biden is the nominee, I won't have a reason to jump in. So it's clear that the establishment wants Biden to be the guy, but they're obviously not confident he can get it done. And so in comes Warren. Now, Warren's campaign is falling. It's not where she wants it to be. It certainly is past its peak. And they needed to find some way to juice it up. How do you juice it up? Okay, you could come out with a scandal where Bernie Sanders is sexist. But how do you make a man that has fought for the underprivileged and ostracized from the political process, how do you convince people that such a man is sexist? Well, you need some kind of smoking gun. You need to have a person that he was sexist towards. You need to have somebody that says disparaging things about him. If you can cinch it, you obviously need to bring out a sexual assault victim. None of these things exist with Bernie because he is not that kind of human being. He's a good human being. It's that simple. So who is your smoking gun? Well, it turns out to be Liz Warren herself. Liz Warren herself said in a statement, and this was after the debacle had started, so this statement was meant to clean things up, but this is Warren's own words. Bernie and I met for more than 2 hours in December 2018 to discuss the 2020 election, our past work together, and our shared goals. Beating Donald Trump, taking back our government from the wealthy and well-connected, and building an economy that worked for everyone. Among the topics that came up was what would happen if Democrats nominated a female candidate. I thought a woman could win. He disagreed. I have no interest in discussing this private meeting any further because Bernie and I have far more in common than our differences on punditry. I'm in this race to talk about what's broken in this country and how to fix it, and that's what I'm going to continue to do. I know Bernie is in the race for the same reason. We have been friends and allies in the fight for a long time, and I have no doubt we will continue to work together to defeat Donald Trump and put our government on the side of the people. Now, that last bit is all hogwash, because that last bit is derailed completely by the opener. The opener where you say, I thought a woman could win, he disagreed. That right there is your smoking gun. You're saying that Bernie said, and I quote, and this has been the smear, a woman can't win. A woman cannot become president. That was the entire origin point of this debacle. Now, Tulsi Gabbard, who I am no fan of, came out with her own tweet basically saying that Bernie has been an inspiration and a constant source of encouragement her whole life, and that he never said to her that a woman could not win. Not to mention the fact that we have multiple recordings of Bernie, of which one I'm about to play, so you can hear his own words on what he thinks about women and whether or not they can be president. So here we go.
The real issue is not whether you're black or white, whether you're a woman or a man. In my view, a woman could be elected president of the United States. The real issue is, whose side are you on? Are you on the side of workers and poor people, or are you on the side of big money and the corporations?
Now, of course, you might say, Joe, you're a Bernie stan. Obviously, you're going to take his side. You're going to play videos where he said a woman could be president, you know, but you weren't in the room. You weren't in the room, and it's her word against his, and we're taught to believe the women. That's the point that Neera Tanden made on Twitter. Now, Neera Tanden is a venomous, two-faced, soulless cretin whose entire mission, working for the Center for American Progress, is to defeat progressive ideas both here and abroad. That is her entire job. But of course, since she is a public official who has a verified account, she is able to share her opinions on this and it gets traction. So she makes the comment that obviously we're supposed to believe the women when they say something sexist has happened. But who are we believing over whom exactly? What context do we have? That is what that first video was about. And I'm about to play a second video here, which is, I think, even better at demonstrating the kind of man Bernie Sanders is on this exact topic.
Has there ever been a woman mayor?
Not in Burlington. There have been and there are women mayors all over the country. There's a woman governor. And you said, who can tell me the name of our governor? Yeah?
I think it's Madeline
Cunin. That's right, Madeline Cunin. And Governor Cunin is a woman. And there are other, not a whole lot, I think there's one other woman governor. There are, the mayor of San Francisco is a woman, and there are many women mayors, but not enough. And one of the very important things, and I hope that all the girls in this class understand, that You, just as much as the boys, have a right to become president. There's not been a woman president, although there was a woman who was giving thought to running for president this time, a from Colorado, a woman named Representative Schroeder gave some thought. So I hope that the girls will think that they have the right to be involved in politics quite as much as the boys do. It's beginning to change, but it's not changing fast enough.
Now, those two clips are from the 1980s. The first one is from 1988. The second one is from 1987. So these are views that he has been espousing for 30 years, just like everything else that Bernie has espoused. So the idea that in a private conversation, Bernie Sanders would tell Liz Warren to her face, "I don't think a woman can win," is, I mean, I don't know what else to call it other than insane. That is an insane thing. If you told me Donald Trump said that to Susan Collins, a Republican senator, to her face privately, I would probably believe it, but it would still surprise me that he would say that to a nominal ally that he will need in the impeachment fight. So I would believe it, but it would just make no sense to me because it just doesn't help him in any way. But anything Trump does doesn't make sense. So again, you know, I would be like, okay, he's a, you know, a sexist moron. Fine. Anyone short of Trump, like if you told me Chuck Grassley in a private conversation with Susan Collins, because that's the context. This was not out in public. This was not to a crowd. This was to these two people who have to work together. They're literal peers. They're both senators. This is to a peer. He told her women can't win the presidency after a lifetime of saying the opposite publicly on video. Why? What would that gain him? In any world, what would that would that have helped that conversation to go smoother? The reason, as I understood it, because this talk that they had was public knowledge for years, the given reason that I understood the talk to be about that was initially like, ugh, fuck Bernie, was that he was encouraging Liz not to run because he didn't want to split the vote, was my understanding. That was how it had been brought up to me, and people told me that, well, Liz is a stronger candidate anyway, so he has no business telling her not to run. And, you know, I didn't agree with that at the time, but that was my understanding back then when that meeting first was announced. Now, years later, literally years later, we have one of the parties from this private meeting coming out and saying that Bernie Sanders told her a woman couldn't win. And the entirety of the media establishment, all of whom have a vested interest, again, Neera Tanden being just one example, in defeating Bernie Sanders' agenda because they do not want to have a progressive democratic socialist agenda brought to this country. It would disrupt the financial rigging that they've worked so hard to iron out in this country. To have someone come in here and just ruin it with all of their honesty and progressivism, they can't have that. So what do? They have to smear him. Well, how do you smear someone? Unlike Jeremy Corbyn, who had problematic essays and associations throughout his life and is not Jewish, how do you smear someone who is Jewish and has video evidence of him throughout his life pretty much doing the right thing in any given scenario? How do you attack him? Well, again, you have to have your smoking gun. So Liz Warren says of this meeting after a year and a half, yes, Bernie Sanders said, I and all women by association cannot win this election. What the truth of this exchange is will, of course, probably remain between them forever, as it'll at best get into a he said, she said scenario. So I don't know that you'll fully convince everyone of anything that has happened unless Liz Warren herself sets the record straight. I will say that even Joe Scarborough and Al Sharpton, who are two members of the MSNBC elite, both said this is ludicrous and crazy. And the idea that Bernie Sanders would say that is absurd. Joe Scarborough put it pretty much the way I did earlier. He put it pretty much into words. He's like, who says that? Not just that Bernie would do it, but who would do it? Again, as I told you earlier, I would find it surprising to hear Chuck Grassley said that of a peer. Like, what possible gain is there in making that point? How is it possibly beneficial to the message Bernie wants to get out to make that point privately to Liz? It just doesn't pass the smell test. It doesn't jive with reality. But the idea that Liz would lie about Bernie as a way to boost her numbers, that does jive with reality, because we already know Liz was willing to lie about her heritage as a Native American to get into a college. And then, of course, when Trump called her out, you know, she foolishly decided to take one of those 23andMe tests. I don't know if it was 23andMe, but it's something like that, which pretty much said that, you know, she's got 1/14th Cherokee, as I recall. So that put that whole lie of hers, her entire, you know, spiel about being a person of color to bed. It embarrassed her, and rightly so. But again, we have a history of Liz Warren embellishing the truth and lying when it serves her politically. She constantly paid lip service to Medicare for All early on in the process, and then very clearly came out in favor of a public option. And since then, has made even weaker noises towards any kind of comprehensive healthcare reform. It's just very clear that this is not her issue. Her biggest issue has frankly been selfies for all, not Medicare for all. So you can definitely see that there is some corrupt motivation on her part, on the part of one of these two parties, to make up a lie, an absurd lie about the other party, one that is unverifiable, except in her words, and she now has to stick to it. Now, of course, nobody believes her with anybody who isn't a vested party. Let me reframe that answer. Who doesn't have a vested interest in seeing Bernie Sanders' agenda not come to pass. They all pretty much came across as reasonable and said, yeah, no, this is bullshit. And I'm even pointing out, again, like Joe Scarborough said it. So this is still people in the elite punditry coming out and saying this is crazy. But all regular people, yeah, they were pissed. And that is why hashtag refund Warren was trending on Twitter today. And that was what I started my day off seeing and looking into that and seeing that Act Blue was actually slowing down. The website was backed up with requests from people that were demanding refunds from Warren because they viewed this as a disgusting betrayal of what they had tacitly endorsed. They had endorsed a progressive, not a smear merchant that was going to collaborate with CNN and the rest of the media elite to try to tank Bernie. I mean, I don't want to conspiracize, but this has David Brock's fingerprints all over it. I mean, this is the kind of thing that the Clintonites did back in 2016. And lo and behold, she, Elizabeth Warren, has introduced a lot of the Clinton campaign staffers into her campaign. So it is not inconceivable that what worked then in their mind could work now. Defeating Bernie is their prerogative. They do not want to have him win the nomination. If he wins the nomination and wins in a landslide in the presidential election, as I imagine he would against Donald Trump, if that were to happen, there would be no place for these establishment hacks in the world Bernie would create. His cabinet would not be filled with consultants. It would be filled with teachers and scientists and activists. It would be filled with actual people. And actual people aren't the kind to be hoodwinked or to toe a corporate talking point line or to smear needlessly. That's the kind of things that the rich do. And nobody is richer or more prone to carry a corporate line than Meghan McCain. So The View today decided to hop on this Liz Warren smear campaign. And what I'm about to play for you kind of sickened me when I had to hear it. It's difficult. If you're a longtime supporter of Bernie, as I am, I challenge you to sit through all of it because I'm going to address it. And it's bad. This is some bad shit.
Tonight, we are hours, right now, we're hours from the next Democratic debate. And candidates Elizabeth Warren and Bernie Sanders seem to have some issues to work out. Warren confirmed rumors that back in 2018, Bernie told her he doesn't think a woman could win the presidency. Bernie denies it, saying he told her that you know who has a sexist, racist, and he's a liar, and he would weaponize anything he could. But he does believe a woman could win, since Hillary beat you-know-who by 3 million votes last time. Is this going to be a talking point? Is this more drama for the sake of drama? What's happening? The kids are fighting. The mom and dad are fighting. What's happening?
Warren was keeping this in her back pocket, right? She kept the receipts because I think they made the pact when they got together in her apartment saying, look, we have the same message. We got to win this thing, so let's not tear each other apart. And then that happens, and she's like, well, fine. If you're going to play the game, then I'm going to play too. And I'm going to make it really difficult for you. They're going to have to figure out how to handle this. I always said maybe they should team up and do it together because they're both splitting such a huge pot of the gold right now. And, you know, it doesn't look like either one's going to want to give it up anytime soon.
Yeah, I mean, I always see Bernie as a little more progressive than Elizabeth Warren. She seems to be a little bit more to the center.
Well, he calls himself a socialist. She's called herself a Democrat.
Exactly. Right, so I think they're a bit different. But what's interesting is that they did have this pact, and they have been friends for a long time. But when she found out that his surrogates were out there, as she said, trashing her, she did come out and say he doesn't think a woman can win. And he's denying it, but I don't doubt that he perhaps said that. I mean, we've had 45 presidents. They've all been men, right? So he may very well think that.
They'd rather vote for a 78-year-old socialist who just had a heart attack than a woman.
I think that is probably accurate, but they've got to get
That's
together.
The truth.
Because when you read Hillary's book, she does say that all of the innuendo and all of the Bernie Sanders attacks really led the way and paved the way for Trump calling her crooked Hillary. So she thinks that Bernie's attacks really harmed her.
I don't see why this is big news. So two people are in a room.
It's big news because
let me finish my thought, and then I'd love to hear what you have to say. But, like, so people are in a room, and they're talking, and one person says, gee, do you think a woman can win a race in this country? And the other one goes, I don't know about that. I mean, everybody has conversations like that. Why is this a big story?
It's a big story because he hurt Hillary Clinton so much in the last election, and it's a big story because while he has a good reputation on Capitol Hill, he does as being a congenial senator with other senators, his supporters have a really bad reputation, meaning the Bernie bros. It's actually one of the few things that really connects liberal pundits and conservative female pundits together is there's just a level of misogyny. Look at Twitter, look at some of the accounts they do that is directed towards specifically women, specifically women in politics and specifically women in political commentary, and I'm sure I will have my Twitter just lit up on fire because of this, but he has a problem with women, and he has for a long time, and I think if Elizabeth Warren has this in her back pocket, all's fair in politics, all's fair in love and war, and I think, look, I don't want him another misogynist as president, okay? I mean, I think we're all women in this country are sick of it, and I have always thought he has had a problem with women. And it's one of the things he can't, much like Mayor Pete with black voters, this is his Achilles heel with female voters.
Right. Yeah, no, I experienced it firsthand when I did the Bill Maher show. Look, he has no filter. That's part of why Bernie is. I'll tell you. I was sitting on the Bill Maher panel with him, and I was like 24, 25. And you know, he was doing his thing and talking with his friend like this.
Something.
And I mean,
we've shown a clip.
He basically didn't even realize I was sitting there or existed. It was kind of like this. And finally, it got so bad that I had to literally physically grab his hand and take it down. But you know, I think he's purposely trying to make people feel no, but it looks bad. Yeah. And I think over time it becomes a narrative, like you're saying, Megan. And in this environment, that doesn't go. It surprises me that he has the following that he does, even with women, when he does things like this.
I just hope that when the candidate emerges, whoever it is, maybe Biden, maybe Klobuchar, I don't know who it's going to be yet. Mm-hmm. I just hope that all the Bernie people get behind that candidate.
I hope they
are not as self-destructive as a lot of Trump voters who vote against their own interests.
I had a conversation with a politician last night, and we were talking about the likelihood of there being a fractured convention is everyone should at this point expect it, because I don't think Bernie and his supporters are going to let this go much like anybody. They did last time. Yeah. And it will hurt the principle just like he really hurt Hillary.
But last time was different. We now have Trump. They've got to get rid of
him. I agree with that because, you know, when Hillary's book, she says some of Bernie's, some of his supporters, the so-called Bernie bros, took to harassing my supporters online. Yeah. It got ugly and more than a little sexist. That's from Hillary. And then remember in July 2016, Bernie stopped the roll call at the DNC. And I remember that very well. And he finally pushed for Hillary Clinton to get the nomination.
Yes.
But he went so far as to stop
time.
the the roll call. So he's not going down without this kind of fight.
And then at the convention, he looked like he was like sucking on a lemon. Remember the in like the close up of his face? He looked like he was sucking on a lemon when they were like showing her. And then his brother made this whole thing, and it wasn't the show of dignity and solidarity that I think she had hoped.
It
you know,
not.
Listen, Bernie Bros, if you're out there, and you know, keep your emails because you know I don't care. But this is really about the country. This is not what. This is not about being a bro or a girlfriend. It's not about any of that. Mm-mm. If he is not the candidate, get your behinds in gear. Get your behinds in gear. And stop pretending that you're looking for him to actually do something that's meaningful for everybody in the nation. Either we're going to try to make this change together, whoever the person is, or we're not. And it'd be nice to do it with you, but we can do it without you. We don't wanna, but you can't do what you did 4 years ago. It's just not right. Can I do the other thing? We'll be right back.
All I wanted to say during that entire segment is how much I absolutely despise Meghan McCain. I'm screaming. If you listen to it through the whole way, God bless you, because it's hard. It is insufferable to listen to these people talk about things that they don't know anything about. When I have to hear a rich, privileged asshole talk about Bernie Sanders and Liz Warren and and just anything involving politics, my eyes roll to the back of my head in fury, because you're listening to people who have no business talking about politics. The rich have no business talking about politics. They don't know what it's like to be food insecure or home insecure or health insecure. They've never had to ration pills. So they have no idea what it's like. So I'm tired. As I said at the beginning of this episode, I'm tired of being asked by rich, privileged assholes why I give my vote to Bernie Sanders. I can't even imagine what it's like for most women, given the fact that Bernie Sanders' coalition is predominantly women and women of color, and not these rich, privileged white women like Meghan McCain. It is teachers. It is Walmart employees. Postal workers, real people. I am tired of having to justify why I am voting for Bernie, to anybody for that matter, but most importantly to rich people. When you have someone come out and say, I don't get why you would vote for Bernie, it doesn't make any sense. It doesn't make any sense. It makes no sense to me. Bernie is an old guy. Oh, why don't you want Liz Warren or someone else, anyone else? See, the reason you don't get it at this point is either you are purposely dumb and you are making this disingenuous talking point, or it is that you really don't understand how bad things are in this country, that we need to have someone like Bernie, real substantive change brought to people's lives through policy. If you don't get it at this point, you don't get it. I'm tired of explaining it to you. I'm tired of having to be polite and patient with people who demand to understand why I want to vote this way, because none of the answers we've given seem to have satisfied them. And if you aren't satisfied at this point, then you're never going to be satisfied. You're just going to continue to ask this question without end, because it is not the answer that you're looking for. It is the fact that we picked him, and it offends you, and you want to voice that grievance, but you know you can't voice it. You have to use a question. Help me understand. We have helped you. There are 1,000,001 people you could go to privately that can help you understand. You want to understand? Ask Breonna Joy Gray. You want to understand? Ask Nina Turner. You want to understand? Ask Killer Mike. You want to understand? Go to a fucking Walmart and ask one of the people there. Don't come on Twitter and demand of AOC, as has been done recently by certain individuals who consider themselves to be a part of the resistance. Don't come on Twitter and demand some kind of explanation for why AOC would endorse Bernie as a woman of color over another woman or one of the other people of color in the race. Don't ask that, because first off, it's extremely racist to assume we have to vote down these tribalistic skin tone melatonin based lines. And beyond that, it's not on you to understand, frankly. You don't have to understand why we're voting for Bernie. You're fine. You're privileged. You have money. You have the ability to have a toxic, worthless opinion and be fine in life. So when I hear someone like Meghan McCain talk about Bernie Sanders and talk about the fact that he's sexist without offering any reason why, other than the fact that he's animated and wants to help people, and you know he's a threat to your trust fund, you privileged heiress, you disgusting privileged millionaire who is so conceited. She has no self-awareness to realize that everybody hate watches her on The View and despises her personally. Even her co-hosts don't like her. You can all tell it. Ugh. I mean, it's exhausting. It's exhausting to have to explain it to you over and over again why we support Bernie. And Breonna Joy Gray, as I said, really laid it out. If you want to be like an Andy Ostroy and come out and pretend to be in the resistance, but ask privately, well, not publicly, ask on Twitter for AOC to explain why she would endorse Bernie over anyone else in the race, by all means, be that kind of person. If you want an answer to the question, if you are genuinely curious, you're not trying to smear someone. And again, that individual, by the way, Andy Ostroy, the one who asked that question of AOC, is voting for Biden and wrote an article about it to prove it back in November. So that's a fact. That's like just an irrefutable fact that's a part of his life that he'll have to own forever. So he can shut the fuck up because that's how he votes. If you actually want to have an answer to the question, Breonna Joy Gray said this on Twitter. More women have given to Bernie's campaign than any other campaign. We have the most diverse, least white coalition. But the millionaires on The View openly smear the teachers, Walmart workers, and post office employees who form our base. Shameful. The women of The View should consider having on one of the many women who make up Bernie's 70% female leadership. Even better, they should have on one of the working class women whose interests they undermine by parroting baseless, long debunked talking points. I'm a longtime watcher of The View and respect its reach and influence a great deal. That's why I want it to be accountable to the women whose interest is attacking. Whatever the segment is, it isn't feminism. You see, you can't have feminism without socialism. And the right wing would, you know, use that as an aha, gotcha moment. They would turn and go, ha-ha, they admit it. They all want socialism, but socialism's a good thing. That's why I have a podcast about why socialism. I'm trying to make people sociable to the idea of socialism. That's the idea of this show, is that it's a good thing. Feminism is a good thing. What it is about, what the hashtag Me Too movement was about, it wasn't just holding these powerful rich men accountable. It was drawing attention to the fact that they were able to get away with their crimes for so long because of their power and wealth. And the only way to fix that is to deal with that power and wealth inequality. You have to eliminate it. The idea that we tolerate such a wealth disparity between the richest and the poorest is absurd. You can't have feminism without socialism. You cannot have feminism without some kind of power and wealth redistribution because the scales are not even. Women do not have as much money as men. They do not have as much power and control as men. This isn't something that you can hashtag your way to success. You actually need to appropriate some wealth, expropriate. You actually need to take it from them. Real feminism is the understanding that we need to even these scales a bit permanently. It can't just be a movement that catches a few people who will be replaced by equally awful people or are currently, like, it isn't even replaced is the wrong word because you're not going to catch them all. I mean, and this is unrelated to this whole thing, but Whoopi Goldberg, by the way, defended Roman Polanski back in 2009. So while we're on the subject of sexual offenders and the hashtag Me Too movement and what real feminism is, just keep in mind, Whoopi Goldberg defended Roman Polanski. So anytime one of these rich Hollywood liberals tries to gain some kind of one-up on you, tries to own the conversation by claiming that from their perspective, their vantage point, they understand what it's like to be a woman and you never will, and therefore they will vote for Joe Biden. Like, whatever their argument is, whatever their point is, just remember that the deeper societal woe is what needs to be addressed with feminism, with socialism, with any kind of ism, the goal is to make society better. You know, Buddhism, like, it doesn't matter. The goal is that all of this sucks and we want to make it better. Society needs to be improved in some measurable way. And the way to do it is to take wealth from the wealthy and give it to the poorest among us so they can fucking eat and have healthcare and have homes. That's the point. That's the entire point of all of this. So when a rich person wants to come out and tell you and shame you for voting for Bernie, ignore them or yell at them. Say whatever you want to them because I'm through playing nice. Playing nice is for chumps and suckers. I have never been nice my entire life, and it has been widely successful for me. I am well-liked by people who meet me because I am not nice. I am mean and crotchety. Like, I am I don't want to use rude asshole, but that's close to it. That is what I am. And I'm happy with it. I've made my peace with it. I am tired of being polite and nice to people who do not have my best interests at heart. It is ridiculous. I am worn out of having to explain to people who have no intention of learning why I'm voting for Bernie Sanders. What could I have in common with Bernie Sanders? And frankly, demographically, I probably shouldn't be voting for Bernie Sanders because I am in that upper middle class white male. You know, like, if you want to talk about it, it's like, you're the Bernie bro. I am what they stereotype Bernie bros as being, but the stereotype is not real. There aren't many people like me. They exist, certainly, but we are not the majority of Bernie's coalition. And the reason for that is because I can't tell you. I imagine it's a combination of self-interest and ignorance. Because I do view it as self-interest in a certain way to support Bernie, because we do need to save this planet and there's no one else who's going to do it. So at the very least, even if, like, then that's the thing, is even if you were absurdly wealthy, I don't get stopping him. But then again, I don't get the mentality of being absurdly wealthy. I could never understand what it's like to have enough money to help the sick and the poor and to not use it to help them. The analogy I used last week and the analogy I used this week until the end of time is it is a sin. A small one, but it is, when you walk by a homeless person and you have money to give to them, because you may be responsible for them going hungry tonight. And it's not a good feeling, but we've all done it. It's a reality. Like, we all feel a little bit guilty when we see someone homeless and we don't help them. But you don't have the ability to help everybody. And if you gave your money away to everyone, you would end up joining them because you wouldn't have any money left because you're an individual and you don't have that much money in the first place. If you're like me, you're just trying to scrape by. Well, Jeff Bezos and the billionaire class are walking by every homeless person in the country every minute of the day for their entire lives because that's how much money they have. They could help all of them forever, and they don't. So there's a clear difference in culpability and responsibility for their fellow man and the suffering of their fellow man. Whoopi Goldberg is more responsible for the suffering of their fellow man, of her fellow man, than you or I ever will be. So do not let her, because she's a woman, tell you not to vote for Bernie Sanders, because she doesn't understand politics. She doesn't understand what it's like to go hungry. And the fact that she could defend Roman Polanski in 2009 is disgusting to me and a clear showing of her Hollywood liberal privilege. She is protecting her class interest and those within her class. And when you hear someone like her, as she did in this video, come out and say, we don't need you guys. Remember, they've got it reversed because they lost without us. They did not win last time. Yes, 3 million more votes. Great. Hooray. Terrific. You got 3 million more votes than Donald Trump and you lost because you didn't get them in the right areas. And you know who did get them in those areas in any kind of polling? Bernie. He would have gotten those areas and we wouldn't be in this mess. He was the better candidate to run. So when I hear Meghan McCain come out and use the same tired, debunked talking point, Bernie Sanders hurt Hillary, man, Hillary hurt Hillary. Hillary hurt herself. Bernie campaigned in those states she lost because he knew they were important. Hillary didn't even bother to show up. This is the problem with the rich, is they never take any accountability for their actions. They never turn and say, it's us, it's our fault. And anyone who does that gets ostracized from the community, gets treated as a leper. It's absurd. It's absolutely absurd that I once again find myself furious at being asked why I support Bernie Sanders, hearing the same easily debunkable smears of the Bernie bro. Man, people are dying. Have some fucking perspective. It's not about your feelings. The idea that I have to sit here and listen to Meghan McCain, who's never had to work a day in her life, be indignant about the tone of another human being is an absurdity that I can't even wrap my head around. I mean, she sounds like the most pretentious person you've ever met whenever she opens her mouth. And she wants to criticize Bernie on his tone and how he talks to people? Shut the fuck up. Holy shit, you don't know what we're going through every day. I didn't have health care for, 7 months. And I only just got it recently. And I can't say I'm happy about it because it's fucking expensive. But I got it again because I finally had a job. I was out of work until September. Technically October. I worked on the 30th of September. But I mean, anyway, point is, it's hard living out here, trying to have a job, trying to pay bills, trying to have health insurance. It's hard. And Bernie is the only person whose policies are even close to ameliorating those woes, to improving the lives of his fellow human beings. And I want that. I don't want anyone to go food insecure or house insecure. I am lucky to be in the position I'm in. I say it every day. As bad as I think I have it some days, I have it so much better and have had such a better life than so many people. And to hear someone who's literally had the best life, who was born into wealth, got a golden ticket right out of the womb, come on stage and talk about how Bernie has a sexism problem. The sexism problem was created by all of you. No one with any kind of serious critique of Bernie says he's a sexist, because you can't, because that's not what he is. Even Warren today has been going around telling her surrogates and aides to not let the narrative that Bernie is a sexist blow up, because it would go poorly for her. She's acknowledged, privately at least, with among her staffers, that it would be a bad idea to let that narrative take hold because it is so easily debunkable. The only people who think he's sexist are the people who want to think that way, like Soledad O'Brien, like Neera Tanden, like Meghan McCain, all rich women of privilege who, and I've said this also, and people have given me pushback on this in my private life. When you become rich, you cease to be a woman. You cease to be Asian. You cease to be black. You cease to be white. Your primary trait just becomes rich. All of those things become appendages of your primary trait. It's not like they cease altogether. They're still real, and you can still, like, they define aspects of, I guess, what your interests are, but you have more in common with your fellow rich people than you do with the majority of African Americans or women or Hispanics. Like, I mean, it doesn't matter. Or poor whites, for that matter. You have more in common with your fellow rich person than you would ever have in common. Like, a rich person, an oligarch from the United States and an oligarch in China have more in common with one another than we have in common with the oligarchs here in the United States. That's just a fact. Your primary trait when you become wealthy is your wealth. You're in a minority at that point all its own. The problems you face are completely different from the problems the rest of us face. Some people call this first world problems, you know, or white people problems. I think that's a good way of defining it. It's to the point we can all relate to it. It's the idea that the biggest problem you would have in a day is that you can't read a sign because it's bent. Be like, oh my God, that sign's bent. I have to get underneath of it to be able to get the full look of what's on, what road I'm on. This sucks. That's the worst thing you have to deal with in your day. That would be called a first world problem, as opposed to like dying of cholera. Well, it's a rich people problem. Like, that's the thing. It's affluence. Affluence and those who have it have more in common with each other than they have in common with anybody else. So when the affluent want to try and hold the moral high ground on anything, they need to be shunned and yelled out of the room from now until the end of time. And Joy Behar, who is normally the progressive on The View, very disappointing in this take. Very disappointing. It's very clear to me that, again, just like all these rich people, she can't relate to us. She doesn't know what we're about. They don't understand us, and you don't have to explain it to them. I'm done. I'm done explaining it to Liz. I'm done explaining it to anybody. We're going to win. We have the message. We have the people. We have the support. We are going to win. And no one, not Anira Tandon, not Meghan McCain, not Andy Ostroy, none of these rich, white, privileged liberals are going to stop us. We are the ones that are going to save this planet, even if it takes us our entire lives, even if the millennial generation, and I'm very aware that this is our reality, even if everything comes to pass that's positive and we get Bernie in, we will be spending our entire lives cleaning up the mistakes of our forefathers. But even if we have to do that, we will, because we don't have a choice. We weren't given a choice. Our world is just going to be that fucked up, and we're going to win. So get the fuck out of the way or get on board. God damn. So while that's not like the end of my rant, I will say that obviously it is a good segue into what I expect to happen tonight on the debate. I have no doubt that this will come up as a talking point. That's the entire reason it launched when it did, is we wanted to make it news so that we can have a situation where Bernie is caught between a rock and a hard place. We want to put him into a situation where he has to either call Warren a liar, in which case, you know, he wouldn't be believing the woman because she is accusing him of a sexist attack, basically, of saying that women can't become president. Or he has to apologize, in which case he's pretty much admitted guilt. So it's a no-win scenario. Again, it's like when you ask the question, when did you stop hitting your wife? There is no good answer. Do you deny it and try to explain why the question is bad? Or do you apologize? It's a damned if you do, damned if you don't. That's the entire reason he was put into this situation. I have no doubt this will come up. I have no doubt that they will try to sow the narrative that Bernie is divisive when the only people that find him divisive are rich liberals who don't want their taxes to go up. I have no doubt that they will try to push the Bernie bro narrative, despite the fact that he has the broadest coalition, predominantly woman support amongst women. It's women of color who make up that base. So I have no doubt that all of this will make a play tonight. But obviously, they know that they have to do these things. The reason why this launched now is because Bernie is surging, for lack of a better word. I mean, that's just what's happening. They feel the pressure, and Liz is the one that is trying to crack him because she recognizes that playing nice with him has not won her anything. I mean, she's just not him. She's a capitalist to her bones. Like, let's go back fucking a week ago, before all this happened. A week ago, I didn't care for Liz very much, but I actually was advocating up to that point that it would be a good idea for Liz to be left in charge of the Senate and for Chuck Schumer to be like thrown to the side, basically, because I see him as useless and I want Sam Cedar to primary him and remove him from New York, because I just find Chuck Schumer to be a blockade. It's just a detriment to any kind of good policy making and an absolutely inept leader. And I was willing to have Warren be the one that stepped into the plate on that front. But of course, that fell apart as after this week. I've now seen that she's willing to play ball and do nasty politicking where you smear someone who has played nice with you the entire campaign because it's politically expedient for you to do so. I mean, as an example of this, Amanda Marcotte of, what is she of? She is a writer for Salon. Great. Said that, in conclusion, I think the best way to make all this go away tonight is for Bernie to apologize and Warren to accept his apology and say that really it was no big deal. Anything else will make this campaign worse for both of them. So again, you know, it's somebody I follow on Twitter at Lizard Rumsfeld said, I think the best way to bury the hatchet with this lie about my friend I put out on national media is for him to apologize to me. And that's it, right? Like that's the problem with it, is that if you lie about somebody and you force them to have to apologize for that lie, they've owned it. They've basically admitted guilt. But of course, I don't believe that Bernie said this. I do believe it's a lie. That's why those of us who see what's going on immediately turned on Liz Warren and blamed her, and why hashtag refund Warren was number 7 on things trending today, right underneath Vince Vaughn of all things, and how people are supposedly mad at him because he was friends with Donald Trump. We all knew he was a piece of shit. I don't know why that surprised anyone. But what do I expect to see out of tonight? I expect Bernie to come out swinging, frankly. I think that I actually am optimistic, and maybe I shouldn't be, because Bernie has shown a reluctance to go after Liz in the past. But I'm hoping that this is the part where Bernie realizes the gloves have to come off, because this is a fight and Liz just made the move. She's treating him like the front runner that he is and is trying to sabotage him. She's trying to character assassinate him. And my hope is that he'll be like, okay, I guess at this point, you know, the die is cast. Let's go to war. And to call her out for her mistakes, for the fact that she used to be a Republican in an earlier part of her life. She's not well-loved in Massachusetts because they find her sanctimonious. And justifiably so. She is sanctimonious. A lot of talk, very little action. She voted for Trump's military budgets. That's been her legacy, to help support Trump. She stood and gave him applause when he gave his State of the Union. Bernie sat, because Bernie does not believe in applauding fascists. He is the anti-fascist candidate, the one with a policy plan that will help this country. And the idea that someone like Warren, who has given a spirited defense of Joe Manchin, could ever compare to the guy who has his entire life taken the most radical, quote-unquote, position, no matter how unpopular, just to help people, like, you can't compete with him, and you shouldn't have been in this race. And that's what I truly believe that discussion was about. It wasn't about women in general. It was simply about you, Elizabeth Warren. And this is, if I take the least charitable assumption, to even give it any kind of credence that he said she could not win the presidency. And I don't even believe he said that. Frankly, I think the whole thing is made up out of whole cloth. Because if it was going to be brought up, you would have thought it had been brought up before now. I think the entire thing is bullshit. But I do, if I'm going to be nice, give the benefit of the doubt and say that Bernie said you, Liz Warren, cannot win because you would get curb stomped by Trump. I could believe that. In it would be tactless of Bernie to say it that way. I could believe it. Fine. If Bernie admitted that's what was said, I'd be like, okay, well, you shouldn't have said it that way. But I could believe it at least. Anything more than that is absurd and an exaggeration. He considers her a friend. He's said so his entire life. He's been reluctant to attack Joe Biden. So the idea that he would attack Elizabeth Warren to her face, again, it's absurd, but this is going to be the narrative going into tonight. The goal is going to be from Amy Klobuchar to Tom Steyer to Joe Biden. The goal is going to be take out Bernie, stop him now, to prevent him from running away with this whole thing, because none of them can touch him on policy. And that's why they have to make this about some sort of scandal. Policy, he destroys all of them. His record is spotless. But, you know, I mean, again, I'm trying to keep this as centered on the debate as possible. So here are the positives going into the debate. Here's a part of the reason why these smears have been boiling over. As I said, Bernie is surging. Sanders recently, and this was on January 10th, got a Iowa poll where he is in the lead at 20%, with Warren in 17, Buttigieg at 16, and Biden at 15. Sanders up 5 points in that poll. That's positive news. That's really positive news for Bernie. Going into Iowa, this will be the last debate, by the way, before we go to Iowa. Going into Iowa, this is what you want to see. We're trending in the right direction. And that's not the only poll that we have going our way. There's also other articles coming out about Bernie that demonstrate something is happening with him. And this is a quote from the article. This is a Politico. Iowa City, Iowa. Something's happening with Bernie Sanders that looked unlikely to many a few months ago. Progressive leaders and organizations are lining up behind him, not Elizabeth Warren, in the lead up to voting. That's from the 13th. So again, even the establishment is having to acknowledge this reality, that Bernie is in fact the guy, that even today he got a new endorsement from a teachers union in Nevada. Let me pull that up right now so I can have that for you. Thank you for your patience. I appreciate it. I love everyone who listens to my show, even though you're not here to listen to my voice. You're here for news. Here we are. Nevada's largest teacher union is endorsing Bernie Sanders. The Clark County Education Association is backing Sanders in a state where organized labor still has big power in the Democratic politics. That's from BuzzFeed News. So this is all happening in the last week. This is all news. That happened today. So all these progressive unions and supporters, like Carlos Maza is somebody that I've defended in the past, unrelated to his politics, but he supported Bernie Sanders this time around because you're not going to find a better vehicle for getting whatever issue it is that you're prioritizing, whatever your personal concern is. You're not going to find a better vehicle than the Sanders campaign, because we're taking on the one thing standing in the way of all issues, whether it's, you know, women's rights, gay rights, African-American rights and emancipation, the end of the prison industrial complex, marijuana legalization, end of U.S. imperialism, you know, no matter universal health care, no matter what your issue is, we're taking on in this campaign the entity that stands in the way of all of that. And it's wealth. It's entrenched wealth. And you'll notice that everyone who hates Bernie Sanders is wealthy. And I really feel like he needs to come out and say that. I challenge someone who's poor to come out and say the kind of things that have been said about him. Say them seriously. Analyze them. Analyze his policies and explain why these policies wouldn't help you personally. If you're poor, you won't be able to do that. If you understand his policies and read them, you will slowly realize that these would help you massively. If you're rich, can't say the same thing. Your taxes will go up. And I'm sorry, Meghan McCain, that might be a bummer for you, but your taxes will go up. And I think that's what Bernie needs to do tonight. I'm sure they're going to avoid calling on him, except when they want to ask him a loaded question. That's a smear. The Liz Warren thing is going to be one of them, but I'm sure there'll be others. There always are. It's going to be a teeth grinding event, just like that clip. It's going to be that 6 minutes, but it's going to be 3 hours. They're painful. I've watched all of them. They're painful. I hate these debates, but I have to watch them because it's our guy. He's up there. You got to support him. You got to show your love. And I encourage anybody listening to this, if the debate is going on, to stop and go watch the debate, because I'll be talking about it on Twitter. You can follow me on Twitter if you want and see what I'll be tweeting about it, you know, to get my raw, uncut opinions. But if you're not, and this is after the debate, and you're just listening to it on your drive to work or something, I can already tell you what my reaction is going to be, and it's going to be bad. It's going to be a bad debate. This debate's going to suck. Bernie will do great, but the debate overall is going to suck, because the problem with all of these debates has been the moderators. And the moderators ask dumb questions. They ask dumb, loaded questions that benefit a few wealthy individuals and no one else. Well, this has been a fun episode. I'm glad I got this out off my chest. I'm looking forward to watching the debate with the rest of you all. Have a good night. Hey, I know I said the episode was over, but just in case you're interested in getting in touch with me and hearing my thoughts, besides just obviously listening to this podcast, you can always follow me on Twitter. It's at Joe Loudguy, or you can mail me at the website's inbox, Joe Loudguy. That's JoeLoudguy at sociablesocialism.com. I'm the only one that answers that inbox, and I can definitely get back to you in any kind of time frame, whether it be tomorrow or 10 weeks from now. I don't know. It'll depend on when I check it. But if you're ever interested in giving me feedback, for example, on the new mic that we're trying out, I'd be interested to hear from you, seeing as this mic is not my phone and that's what I've been using up to this point. So thank you again for tuning in, and have a good evening.